titled simply, The Church, out of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Amen. My eyes look like they're playing tricks on me, so ¿me puedes ir a agarrar los lentes que están allá al lado de la pantalla? I looked at the Bible. Amen. I'm looking at the screen. The letters are doing this. To the left, to the left, to the right, to the right. Amen. And my eyes are like, oh. So let me go ahead and put these. Glory. Yes. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 18. The word of God says, and I say to you that you are Peter. Other translations say that you are Cephas. And on this rock, I will build my church. The name Cephas means a small rock. So what Jesus is telling Peter is that not as the Catholic Church says that he is, that Peter is the rock, but that he is a small portion of the big rock. Amen? That he is a portion. The Catholic Church says that it was founded, that everything is founded on Peter being the rock. Can I tell you, if Peter is the rock, then what is Jesus? If Peter became, amen, listen, the name Cephas means, amen, a small rock. What we are, how many know that what we are, folks, is we are but a small part in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me continue. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your great work. Help us to understand your work upon what we are in the church. We thank you, Father. Help us. Give us a greater understanding in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, or in other words, death, shall not prevail against it. We all love, every single one of us in one way or another, we enjoy sports. Amen. We love sports. Not all of us were born, amen, into being athletic. Amen. Ask my wife, glory to God. My wife got a lot of other giftings and talents, but sports was not one of them. Growing up, amen, I remember where there were days that every single day of our lives, growing up with seven boys, three girls, what we would do is we would come out and we would go out to the local park. We would play some type of sport every day, and everything in our lives, we were doing something athletically. We played what was called a tag. I don't think kids know what tag is now. Amen. But what it used to be was that we would go out and we played, the tag that we played is we played throughout the whole 2-block radius. What one person would do is we would go out and one person would be it. Then that person had to touch. So you always went after the slowest person. Amen. You would go after them to try to get that person to now help you to where you were there tagging everybody else. But like I said, we went over a 2-block radius. And can I tell you, We didn't have fences. The fences were just there for us to hide. We were troublemakers. The neighborhood knew who we were. All the neighbors, they didn't call the police. It's just these harassing kids that were there. Amen. But we went out, folks. And in everything that we did, we were part of a team. We were there there. We were athletic. Growing up, amen, that led me to enter track and cross country. And through the sports, and though, amen, sports give you and I an individual accomplishments, we were there and we won or lost as a team. We were recognized individually, but being part of a cross-country team, what the team consisted of was five individuals. So that meant that the top five people, that the first five people that came in were going to be ranked or scored in as a team. And we needed every single person to be able to fulfill their part. If one person, we usually had a seven-man team. We had a boys team and a girls team. But only the top five were counted as the team. There is something this morning about being on a team that gets you and I going. Being part of something, with others, how many know, is very special. It was a part of, can I tell you, I was part of I was blessed and didn't even know, but I was part of being there of a very good team. We were there our sophomore year. We won the Northern California, section title. I don't know what the section title would be here. It would be more like, I think, divisional, where California is broken up into the southern tier right around Fresno, California, and then the northern tier. You come into Fresno, California, and you compete for the state finals. We, as the sophomore, we were not the varsity team, but we were there, and we won the Northern California, tier as a team. We were very good. And I had the opportunity to be part of great teams in the past. Can I tell you, nothing beats the team that I am part of now. And that team this morning is the church. Would you say that the church this morning is a team? The definition of team is a number of persons associated in some joint action. Do you this morning, think that we as a church meet the definition of a team? We are, a number of persons associated. We are in joint action. We are of seeing people to know Jesus and grow more and more and more in Christ Jesus. We don't build the Church of Colorado Springs for self. How many know that? We build the church here for Jesus Christ. Thinking of a church as a team may seem strange to you, but that's exactly what we are. We are a team. So what exactly is the church? Is the church simply a plain building? The answer is no. Is it a location where people meet for services or come for meetings? That is not the case this morning. That is not the case. We are not just a box. How many would agree? Four walls with some loud equipment on it. In the Bible, we see two different aspects of the church. There is what we call the church or the universal church. Jesus said he will build his church. See, the church is all people of all times that believe in Jesus. All the people who trust in Jesus are part of his church. There are people in Europe that are part of the church. There are people in Africa, Asia, North, South America, Australia that are part of his church, no matter what denomination. If someone believes and trusts in Jesus and has accepted him into their lives, they are part of the church. Every person here this morning, amen, is part of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. This tells you and I that you and I are part of a church and cannot not be part of the church. You know, I've heard people say things like, I love the old man, but I don't like his people. In other words, what they're saying is, I love God, but I don't like you. Amen? Because you don't like me and we don't like each other. But can I tell you, when you and I became part of the church, he's not just an old man. He's our Heavenly Father. He's not just that thing, amen. He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as he has saved you and I, amen, listen, we are called to do one thing. That's to love one another. Pastor, I love that you say that, but I don't think I can do it. Can I tell you, that's what Jesus called the church to do. So if you have any problems, you go talk to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Then there is what we call the local church. If you read the book of Corinthians, if you read Galatians, Ephesians, it starts out as to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to the brethren, which are in Galatia, to the faithful saints who are of Ephesus. These are folks, believers who met locally there at the local church. The church here in Colorado Springs is a local church. It is where specific, amen, where we gather locally in our community. There are ways that you can get into ministry or just participate in everyday functions of the local church. Amen. But if all you want to do is come in and be part of it, God help us. How many know that that's what we can become? Because we are jointly fit together, as the Word of God says. So even though, amen, we are part of the church, we are part of a local church, folks. Being part of a local church, there are responsibility. The word responsibility is a word that many people can try to stray away from. You say to yourself, I didn't come to the church to gather more responsibilities. I came to offload my responsibilities. We've got enough responsibilities in our own selves. See, in relation to the church, responsibility is a way of a greater joy and fulfillment of what we get to be part of locally. You have this morning, you have the responsibility to find your place within the local church. In 1 Corinthians 12, you can read 12 through 27. In verse 18, it says, God has placed you in this local church for a purpose. God has given you a unique gift that you can add to the local church. There is no order of importances, in the church, because we are all needed this morning. And not only are we needed, but we are valued. See, the church is not complete without you doing what God has called or gifted you to be able to do. So how do you find your place in the local church? You know, I sometimes we pastors think that we got it all figured out. How many know that? But when I was coming up in the ranks, listen, I didn't know, Matthew from Revelation. I didn't know, Genesis. I couldn't possibly tell you one. I couldn't tell you one book in the Bible. So after a few years, I come to my pastor. I was cocky. I was there, I was bold, and I came to my pastor and I said, Pastor, let's have a seat in your office. Amen? Listen, you think you can talk and you can call Pastor Larry Mitchell. I said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I said, I want to get discipled. You know, I'm thinking, the angels are going to come down from heaven. And the revelation of my pastor, he's going to say, Jesus, praise God. Amen. Praise God. I've been waiting for you. You know what he told me? He said, okay, Jesus, that's great, but go pray. He said, that's great, but I want you to make sure that what you are wanting to do is what God wants you to do, not what you think you want to do. So when I got out of that office, my boldness went down to the floor, and I stepped out, and I said, oh, God, help me, Jesus. But that's what my pastor said. He said, Jesus, go pray. Because you will never be able to do anything for God unless you pray. That taught me something. That taught me that before I went into pastor's office again, I better had prayed. Amen. Pray. And listen, when God puts things in your life, then we begin to try it. Discipleship is when you and I are learning. There in the local church is where we begin to learn how to be able to make the mistakes that we are going to make when we get out on our own. And then we do it. We try. So we pray, we try, and we do it again and again. Because what we do is we don't do things for us, we do things for God. And how many know that we are imperfect people, but we serve a perfect God? See, we have a responsibility, folks, to serve, to support our local church. Giving is a vital part of being a Christian. 2 Corinthians, 9:6-8, 2 Corinthians. The word of God says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See, this is the principle, folks, of sowing and reaping. In other words, it is a gardening, a principle. When we give and give cheerfully, we will see the results in due time. How many know, folks, that when you plant something, if you plant some cucumbers, I don't know if cucumbers grow here in Colorado Springs, but when you plant them, you expect cucumbers to grow in due time. You're not going to plant a seed in late February or March, and then by the end of March, you want these cucumbers to come out. You're going to wait, you're going to water, you're going to take care of, you're going to till, you're going to come in when the weeds come out and they try to come and take everything. When these rodents, come and try to take the fruitlings that are growing, folks, you're going to go out there, with your fly swatter, with your BB gun or everything else, and you're going to try to chew those things out. See, when we give, we give cheerfully, and we wait to see the results. When we sow seeds, what we do is we reap new Christians. We read, we read the joy of seeing new people now live their lives changed by the glory of Jesus Christ. See, we don't make you feel guilty, folks, or try to beg you for your money. We bring forth the Bible principles of sowing and reaping. And we come and you make your own decision. See, God accomplishes this morning everything through the local church. People's lives are changed. Heaven will be more populated because of what God is doing through us here in Colorado Springs. Families, lives, communities, all these things are being, turned around. Giving is an eternal investment into people's lives. If the church this morning is going to continue to succeed, it is going to require that we, give its financial support. God gives you and I the opportunity to be part of what he is doing. Amen. But how many know that God does not make you and I do nothing? He gives you and I the choice. It is a choice of where, we want to invest our finances. If it's Starbucks, Dutch Bros, McDonald's, or any other fast food restaurant or place that you go eat at. You can invest in stocks, bonds, gold, silver. You can invest into a bigger house, more cars, more toys. Or you can decide to invest into something that is changing lives forever. See, our mission is not just to change the area around us. It is ultimately, folks, to change the world. And this can be accomplished as you and I invest into the local church. As we come to a close, you and I this morning have the responsibility to participate in the workings of the local church. These are, amen, these verses are a part. If you look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, Hechos 2. This is what the local church was doing, folks. We're going to read 42 through 47. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them amongst all as anyone had need. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. This was God, the people of God. Can I tell you, when I got saved, folks, you know, my wife, she released me, amen, because when I was not saved, all I cared about was myself. I spent most of my time playing racquetball there in the gym, just trying to build me. Then I get saved. My wife made a statement, man, you're at the church all the time. Can I tell you? Because that's what I needed. The church was open. I was there. They needed something to get done. I raised my hand. And I made myself available. But in making myself available, I made myself to be faithful to the responsibilities that I was giving myself to. I don't know if I made a mention. There's a gentleman that grew up in the church. And anytime that pastor said, I need somebody. And then you would go and pastor would come and say, why didn't this get done? Well, pastor, I couldn't. I'm sorry. I had other things to do, and nothing got done. Listen, when God saved my life, listen, when I made myself available for the things of this world, I was faithful to them. Now God raised me up. He saved me. Listen, He saved me. I don't know about you, but He saved me like He saved you. And when God saved me, listen, He didn't get the top end of the stick. He got a messed up young man, messed up marriage, messed up life. And when I knew that God had saved me, All I wanted to say and do was, God, whatever you need, I make myself available. Wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Listen, I was waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to work. We were there at the church till 11:30, 12 o'clock sometimes. From 12 to 2 o'clock is not a lot of hours. How many know that? Amen? But guess what? The later, if it doesn't work for you, amen, it worked for me. The later I stayed up doing the things for God, it seemed like the most energy I had the next day. Amen? I kept counting. 12, by the time I get home, by the time I take a shower, it's going to be possibly 12:30, 12:45. I still got to wake up at 2, so we're talking about an hour and a half at most. But can I tell you, folks, when I was doing things for God, when I fasted for God, people would look at me and they'd be like, man, where'd you get all that strength from? God. God. Everything I wanted to do because I knew that God had saved me. See, in the New Living Translation, it uses the word share 4 times. They shared their meals. They shared everything. They helped each other out. They had a share joy. They were there to praise and they worshiped together. Can I tell you, that's what a local church is, folks. A place where we can come in, find a refuge from everything that happens outside. Because can I tell you, there's a lot of things that are happening outside. But you can come and you can be part of a family. Because can I tell you, folks, that's what we are. We are a family that's jointly, where every member is jointly fit together. The church will not become what it can until all of us are everything to the church. Why doesn't the church do this? Why doesn't the church do that? I've heard many of times. Why? Then I ask them, will you do it? No, Pastor, I don't think I can. The local church will not become what it can until we begin to do everything for the local church. See, how can you become, amen, part of the local church? And I also say, amen. Let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. The Word of God says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. How do you become the local church? When we all become followers of Jesus Christ, we become, listen to me, folks, we become part of his church. God brought each and every one of us for his purpose. And he brought you in this morning to be useful into his local church, folks. As we all do our part together, we will be able to see a healthy local church because God is using every single one of its members accordingly. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you. You're here this morning. You're not saved. You're here this morning. You're not right with God. You're backslidden in your heart. You might be looking nice, hair, lipstick, well-dressed, but yet your heart is far from God. You're here this morning. You're not saved. You're away from God this morning. God wants to touch and use your life. Would you do one thing for me? You want to lift up your hand this morning. You want to be honest with God. That's me, Pastor. I'm not saved. I'm away from God right now. I'm backslidden in my heart. And I don't want to continue in those steps anymore. I want to get saved, Pastor. I'm tired of being tormented. I'm tired of my life going just as the wind, as the shafts being blown from one direction to the other. No stability, no foundation. Jesus told Peter, "You are Peter. And I will build my church upon this rock, Jesus Christ." You're here this morning. You're not saved. You're here this morning. You're not right with God. But you want to make a decision this morning. Would you simply do one thing? All I want to know is who to pray for. You're not going to come up, and I'm not going to ask you to write down your diaries and everything else. All I want to know is, can I pray for you this morning? Would you lift up your hand quickly? Quickly, lift up your hand. Quickly, lift up your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Church, let me speak to you. You are part of a bigger picture than you truly understand, folks. We are his church. But locally, we are the local church. We are part of the body of Christ, where each and every one of us have our place within the body. How many know that we can't have 20 people that want to be one finger? You have your part. You have your place in the body of Christ. There is a place for you in the local church. But you need to ask God, God, where do I or how can I be used? My pastor gave me the greatest instructions ever. He said, Jesus, if you're ever going to do anything for God, you need to pray. That's what I'll tell you this morning. If you are ever going to do anything for God, folks, you need to pray because you need to find your place. You are in a place. Now you need to find where within it you belong. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God. Come, lay hold of God. Let God tell you. Let God teach, show you. Let God move. Let's let God place you and I, amen, into where He decides for our lives within the local church. We are part of the church, which is the universal church. Amen. As we are believers in Jesus Christ, but we are part of a local assembly, a local body, a local place, a local, amen, there where you and I gather this morning, where as believers we can begin to give God the place of our lives, the place of our hearts, that we can see the kingdom of God established within our lives. But you need to pray and ask God, God, where do I belong?
From the moment that I wake,
God, where do I belong?
Until I lay my
You are not rejected,
I will sing,
but you are accepted.
Of the goodness of God.
There's a place for you. But unless you pray and lay hold of God, you know, anytime somebody comes, I learned a valuable lesson that day. That anytime somebody comes and asks me anything, the very first thing I tell them is, let's pray. Have you prayed about it? Because it's through prayer that we get the directions of God for our lives. It is through prayer, folks, that we are going to be able to find and navigate our lives through those areas of uncertainties. Through prayer. That we are going to be able to see all things fulfilled for Jesus Christ.
In the mercy of God.
Hallelujah. Pray. 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 And do what? Pray. Because if we don't pray, then we're just going upon the intuitions of this guy. And that guy is you also. Amen. And can I tell you, I could do nothing or accomplish nothing. But through Christ, I can do all things. That's what you can do also. What you think that you cannot do through Christ, you come in, you might fail. But that's a learning process. How many know that? Amen? Listen, we are imperfect people that serve a perfect God. So we are prone and we are going to make mistakes. But if we don't try it, we will never know it. Amen? So you find your place into the body of the local church. Because that's what Peter was. Peter was a small but important piece. Can I tell you? You and I will be a small but of a very important piece into the kingdom of God. But that's what our function is. Because we are part of, did the Bible say his body? We are not part of the body of the Christian Fellowship Ministries. We are part of his body. And because we are part of his body, you have a place within the local church that you fit in. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you.